B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
The ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Again with the dilly.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
First of all, starting off, I'm appalled. My name is Ace, and I'm on a case. I've been born and raised in the Fillmore, in which we call it the Phil, no more. The issue here that I'm come here to speak on, and I was coming to say, I'm not objective or for it, but we need to know what the hell he think he's are they doing. Now, it shows some confidence there, or it shows some cockiness, in which me, Ace, on the case, I'm very disappointed. So right now, it's a bad mark, but there's room for improvement. But you make it loud and clear in his ear that Ace is on the case. Now, the information that I have here, I can't get from your secretary. She said confidential. Block it out. But I'm appalled. Just taking my time coming down here, although I'm down here at City Hall. I call it Silly Hall. But the deal is right now, the issue is my name is Ace. Ooh. And I've been on this case. Some of those people out there didn't want me all in that place. But it's no mystery. Just check my history. Ooh, I've been working on that case because it got a lot of conspiracy. Ooh. Thank you very much.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, and we are in the Town Fair Tire Studios. You can give us a call, 617-779-0985. That'd be nice of you. You could do that. Talk to us. Take some time off the table. Nothing wrong with that.
We might need some help from the listeners this morning. There is a certain gentleman who said that he was going to come on with us this morning. It was going to be the return of one of our good friends, a superstar when it comes to the TNR universe. He told us that today would be the day, and he said that about 24 hours ago, and since then, we have heard nothing.
No.
There was to be a return of Brandon Merriweather to our show.
Because he has a one-hour weekend show debuting tomorrow, tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning. Him and another former athlete who I've never heard of. But, I mean, he's all in on it. I mean, they're soliciting for advertising. If you're on Instagram.
He's been tweeting me a couple times over the last month. I think, maybe three times in the last month. The one time when we were talking about doing an in-studio. We're joking about doing an in-studio Dungeons & Dragons game. And Merriweather said, oh, hell no. Waldick, where you at? So there was that. And then there was another time he tweeted me about, I think one of our listeners said, hey, when are you coming back to TNR? And he answered them and copied us. And then there was this. When he announced his radio show, he was like, see what I got going on, TNR? And so I reached out to him. I said, listen, we'd love to have you on. You can promote your show. You know, and I said, you know, you want to do it Thursday or Friday? And he goes, let's do Friday. And I was like, great. How's 8 a.m.? At nothing. Hey, Brandon, just want to confirm you're coming out with us tomorrow at 8 a.m. so we can tweet about it and promote it. What number would be the best to reach you? Nothing. Hey, Brandon, we still on this morning for 8 a.m.? And nothing. So I need our listeners to tweet Mr. Brandon Merriweather at BMerriweather31 and just say, hey, are we finally going to get the first Brandon Merriweather appearance of this season? We haven't had one since the end of last year. Although I think he had, like, in, during the summer, some sort of appearance with a girl with a big butt. What was that? The Real Tahiri? Didn't we have him on because he was, like she was going to be doing an appearance with him at some bar?
I don't know. He came on especially just to talk about the appearance with the Real Tahiri?
Yeah. Remember we reached out to him? Or, like, we got this big club appearance, and there's a lot of our, you know, fans that might travel down to... I just kind of made something up to get him on. And he was like, okay, and he came on the show with us. We haven't heard from him in months.
No, well, yeah, we asked him to come on at the beginning of the season. And he said yes, and then he said his own stuff going on. And I know he has a restaurant, and he's been involved in some charities in Apopka. But now he's got this show. I can tell you what it is. It's a show. It's on AM radio. It's him and another guy. I think they're selling their own advertising.
I looked him up. He was a kick returner for the Giants for like 3 years.
I'm trying to figure out how you search people on Instagram. All right. Following. Bitch in the club tonight.
And this song is the hookiest thing.
And we're blinded tonight. We got that VIP on slow. All right. Okay, it's Meriwether and Dixon. It's on, it's on AM and FM. It's on 96.9 The Game at 10 a.m. tomorrow. They're soliciting for advertising. And so it seems like, and it says businesses and sponsor DM me or call. So, smoking a swisher. That's obviously blunt. But the, he's looking for advertisers and stuff. This could not hurt promoting his show. I mean, it's available online. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Meriwether and Dixon, 3 days to go, it said. And that was a few years ago. And then he has a picture of Puffy, Jay-Z, and Nas. And he says, looking for some late night inspiration. Need theme music for iHeartRadio Meriwether Dixon show Saturday morning. #3 the hard way.
That's right. That's his friends that he hangs out with, right?
I don't know what it is, but it says.
I think that's what he names his group that he likes to roll with.
Yeah, almost everything is, yeah. Because even he has this bowl party going on, Pro Bowl weekend, and then it says #football, #3TheHardWay, #givingback, #OneApopka, #BrandonMeriwetherCommunityCenter, #WSA, #WorldSportsAlumni.com.
There's a Brandon Meriwether Community Center?
Yep. #Brandon. It's the community center for all kinds of community people. We have a bounce house.
Do you really?
Yeah.
The best was the first time he asked you to do his impression.
Y'all do some impression of me?
He's like, man, y'all, that sounds nothing like me.
That sounds nothing like me. Foolish.
If anything, we nail down the impressions.
Yeah, I say it sounds like it. Community center.
Our listeners are already on it, by the way, because I knew they would. At B Meriwether 31. Someone's saying, B Meriwether, where are you at?
In the center. Come over here. We got some check-em machine. Also, Connect Four.
The Haunted House.
On Halloween, we'll scare you all. The creepy man.
What?
Then I'll go out in three the hard way. Doing some fun stuff.
Act like, I don't want to say love females, but...
Man, well, that would be nice if we got him back.
There's no way.
I mean...
There is a 1 in 100 chance that he calls in.
I don't even think it's that good.
No, you're probably right. You're probably
less
right.
Than that.
1 in 100 is pretty bad odds.
I'm telling you, it's less than 1 in 100.
All right.
How do we not have his phone number? Don't we have it? I thought for all these... Because I know he used to call us.
People are very weird about giving their phone numbers out, like as if we were going to call him at all times.
Like, it was a big problem with Colvin, too, wasn't it, for a long time?
Well, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was weird. We were like...
But then he insisted that we had it, and we didn't. But I just think it's funny, like, if we had Meriwether's, and I love Meriwether, I'm making fun of him, but I just think it's so funny, like, what are we going to do with your number? Like what do you think? We're going to get drunk and, like, call you up?
Yeah, that wouldn't...
Like,
it wouldn't
I have plenty of numbers of relatively well-known people in my phone. I never call them. I forget that I have them.
My favorite number that was in my phone was Emmanuel Lewis's.
But you abused it.
No, I did not. I called him one time because it was something for the show. And the best was that he had one of these, he tried to disguise it. So if you accidentally got his number, you wouldn't know it was him. So it was like, the number you have reached belongs to, and the recording would start, and you hear this, A-L. Please leave a message after the beep. It was obviously Emmanuel Lewis's voice just saying E-L, his initials, so you wouldn't know it was him. And I'm like, dude, as hard as you might try, you still sound like Webster.
Well, we had a friend who had a Kid Rock's number. And you would call, and it was an answering service, and they would say, who are you looking for? And then you'd say, Bob Ritchie, and then they go, okay. And then they would call Bob Ritchie. They'd call Kid Rock. And then Kid Rock would make the decision of whether or not he was going to take your phone call.
So he had a paid phone screener.
Yeah. Like, the real famous people it doesn't go to their phone. I'm sure they have some phone that it goes to.
Yeah, yeah.
But the number that they give you is answered by someone, and they kind of weed out the calls.
I guess the only guy that's not like that in Hollywood is Bill Murray. Like, Bill Murray apparently doesn't have an agent or anything like that.
I don't think he has a cell phone.
You might be right.
No, seriously. Like, you leave messages at his house, and you might get to him, like, 6 months later.
Just call you back randomly.
Yeah, he's getting annoying. All right, so we had Burt Breer coming in. There's no way Meriwether comes on. Apparently, there was some story about something very innocuous that Danny Ainge said.
Blew up.
But that was news to me. And I am on the internet a fair amount of time during the day, and I now looking back, I realize it's a name that if you mention people,
it's clicks,
flip out.
Yep, two names. Two names together.
Yeah, but one name especially. And we'll address that because it's everything that's wrong with the internet. It's just so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is dumb.
People,
it's not objectively dumb. It's just really dumb.
We just want to show you what happens when somebody takes two words and makes their own hypothesis about what someone was trying to say without even listening or reading what the content was that they're talking
about.
And
by the way, the comments Ainge made are so innocuous, but also it's completely correct, and I don't think either party would disagree. So we'll talk about that eventually. I thought, I was like, why are we going to talk? There was a program director, and Rich and I, on TextFish. I'm like, why are we going to talk about this? And then Rich said, all right, well, look, it's in the, you know, these newspapers. And I looked, and I'm like, there's no story. But then I guess there's people that are upset, and I don't know why.
Well, the best is that there's one local writer who is upset, and one of our own people at the radio station and him just went body blow to body blow last night.
I mean, it's really, really dumb.
I know.
It's not even like, you know how people said Baby It's Cold Outside was like whatever it was, like a rapey song?
Right.
This is even dumber.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I
mean, it's so dumb.
Because there's like no gray area,
and it's frustrating to have to talk about this.
Well, I think,
but for the good of the show, I will discuss this matter. I mean, it's ludicrous, but we're in a weird place, man. We're in a weird place. There's people that are talking that get way too much credit. All right. What happened last night, Rich? I would imagine we talk about a very exciting game from the Bruins last
Huge
night.
Huge win. Yeah, what a great win for the team last night. Game,
and it's a good time to get rolling.
Mm-hmm.
We will talk about that and so much more.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. What happened last night, Rich?
Well, there would be no Winter Classic hangover last night.
Krejci over the line with DeBrusk. Got me a chance into the right circle. DeBrusk. Backhand, he scores! Jake DeBrusk. Scooted into the right circle. Dropped the shoulder. Sent a backhand to the far post. Beyond Mike Smith. And the Bruins now with a 5-3 lead.
Yep, the Bruins win a big one, one game after winning another big one. This time it was a 6-4 win against the third-best team in the NHL, the Calgary Flames. And it was that guy, regular guest of the Touch and Rich Show, Jake DeBrusk, who has returned to the team with a vengeance, scoring 2 goals yesterday. And on top of that, you had an all-star, once again, playing like an all-star.
Bruins are now on the power play.
For another minute, 5, Lindholm in the box, blasted down low. Here's Pastrnak up front, they score! What a play that was! By his check, grabbed that puck in the slot, forehand, backhand, slipped it by Smith, power play goal, 4-2 Bruins.
Yeah, Pastrnak on pace for 50 goals, and if he continues to play this way, look out. However, credit to the ridiculous Hail Mary pass, bank shot assist, leading to Pasta's goal by Torrey Krug. That was a thing of beauty.
By the way, Pastrnak, 50 points in his first 40 games. I heard Judd Surratt say this last night. He's the first player since Mark Savard over a decade ago to do that for the Bruins.
Wow. Well, he's been impressive. Halak was shaky at times, but saved 33 on the evening. One of the best moments of the evening, however, was after Kevin Miller put a hit on Michael Frolik into the boards. Frolik gets up and gets at his face, and Miller starts doing that thing, shaking his gloves as if to say, you want to go? And Frolik quickly skates away as if he just realized, oh, yeah, I picked a fight with Kevin Miller.
Kevin Miller could have broken the guy's back.
Yeah.
And then the guys, that was the best part of the game. And Kevin Miller makes a gesture with his right hand that he, like, moves the gloves.
He shakes the gloves as if he's about to, like, fling them off.
But not even. He, like, moves the glove, and the guy just immediately turns around and gets on the bench.
With no attempt to even hide it, like, that there was something else. Like, it was just, he skated right up to him, and Kevin Miller just goes, all right. And he goes, yeah, I'll rethink this one. This is Kevin Miller here's my bench right over here. I'll just sit on down, and you guys have a fun time. That was phenomenal. And it was very gif-able, which is great. In 5 seconds, you could watch the entire thing happen right in front of you, and you could retweet it. Well, great win against a good team. Here's Brad Marchand afterwards.
You know, it wasn't our best effort, but that's a really good team over there and playing very well right now. So it was a good test for us. You know, we got the 2 points, which is ultimately what we need right now. But I think we got to be happy. I mean, to come off such a high last game with the Winter Classic coming home, you know, it's sometimes going to be a bit of a letdown, but I thought we played pretty well.
Was the team's trying to get healthy. There was a little bit of a scare yesterday with Patrice Bergeron, who had to leave, and when he came back, you know, during the time, what did they put Corrali up at the first line, I think?
I think that's right.
I mean, that guy's just been, I think he's played in every line over the last couple of weeks.
He plays left wing on the fourth line, then he'll center the third line. Yeah, he's all over the place.
Well, there's been a couple of injuries, including Nordstrom and McAvoy, and Bruce Cassidy had some updates on the two.
Charlie's progressing well. We talked about that this morning. We hope to see him back on skates early next week, and from there, I don't know what day he'd be in the lineup, but it wouldn't be too far along. So we're hoping. Now, that could change, but, you know, Nordy's injury is a tough one. But it's a 2-3 weeks, and those are going to happen to every team as long as they're spaced out. So I'd like to think we can improve on our second half.
Maybe it's unfair, but every time I hear Bruce Cassidy talk about McAvoy, it sounds to me that it's more than just here's what the doctors say. It's also here's what the people around McAvoy are saying when he'll be ready to come back.
This one is not the case.
Now when he speaks, I just hear that in his voice unfairly, it seems like. But maybe that's just kind of the thing that's the aura that surround him.
No,
since
this is legitimate, is that he got hit with the puck and it opened up a big wound and they had to sew it up, and they're afraid of infections because if you get a staph infection, then you're out for a long time. Mm-hmm. So the way it's been explained to me is that it's absolutely legitimate, and that it's the Bruins that are holding him out. It's unfortunate for him that this is the year he's getting hurt that much, but I tend to think the bottom line on McAvoy is not going to change. The Bruins can't take losing him. But here's one thing about the Bruins winning. And every time they win is another reason that they have to start making moves. And they got to start making moves sooner than later because this team has no depth. You are now an injury away from falling
out of this thing. I mean, you hung out and you treaded water for a while. You can't afford that to happen again. You need to get deeper. And so every win, I would say, pushes up the timetable of when you have to get things going.
They really have a chance here. I mean, they're playing really well.
Yes.
They're 9-4 in their last 13, and I thought they were going to lose last night. Calgary is, if you haven't looked, the best team in the West at the moment.
Yeah, they were 3-1 in the last four.
Yeah, and, you know, the high of the Winter Classic, you figured this would be a prime letdown game. And they played well. They fell behind early. They were down for maybe a minute and a half, came right back and outscored this team. That's a really good team they beat last night. And the Bruins have some really tough games ahead. I mean, they play Buffalo tomorrow night. They're tied with them for third place.
They have to win that game.
Toronto is suddenly vulnerable. They're without their top two goaltenders. I mean, this is a chance here to make up some ground. They're only 4 points out of second place. They have Toronto right in front of them. They got a game against Washington, against Montreal.
All the more reason that you need to make a move.
There's a real chance for the Bruins to make a move in the division. I don't think, Tampa Bay is playing out of their minds at the moment.
Yeah,
you're not going to catch them.
No.
But second place is certainly doable. And this team right now is as healthy as they've been in, what, 2 months?
Yeah, and, John, these are not – you don't have to make, like, a major move for, like, a Tavares. What you can do, you just need depth moves.
Yeah.
Third-line center, isn't that what
– third-line center is
Jaffe's
the big
been
one.
Beating
that's
that drum
Jaffe's
for a while.
Thing, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But, no, you need guys that can play on the third line. And ideally, you could get a guy that you can move up with to the second line that Krejci can work off of. But, I mean, immediately you need to make a – to get a third line center.
I mean, the hierarchy is there. Obviously, you have the great top line, but even if you split them up, you get some production. I mean, David Pastrnak is that sniper that Bruins fans have been clamoring for 2 decades. I mean, this guy is a legit superstar, and you have Marchand and Bergeron, and if DeBrusk can continue to score goals here, you got something.
You have Krejci and DeBrusk, and then everything's kind of grinding and who's going to score. The fourth line's fine.
Yeah,
you
yep.
don't have to
fourth
make
line
any...
is exactly what you want.
Right, and so, you know, you have Backes on the third line, and we'll see how that goes. It hasn't gone great so far, and you just need depth, scoring depth. You need a guy that can score, not a grinder. You need a guy that can score. You don't have to give up the entire organization to get him either.
Well, the good news is that the Bruins are starting to look good right as they look at 12 of the next 16 games being at the TD Garden. So they're going to be playing a lot at home.
Yeah, it's like
coming
the
up.
Garden is going to be completely booked every night because the Celtics are there all month.
It's
too.
True. Yeah, yeah, you're right. That's right. Absolutely. So
if you got season tickets to both. Hey, your day card is punched.
You're going back to the newly reopened Sullivan's Tap and having a few drinks.
They classed it up today?
I don't know what they did. All I know is it closed for like a month, which kind of sucked. And then I know new owners came in, so there were whispers that, hey, this is just a temporary thing. And sure enough, it was. So it's back up and running. I don't know what
they do in a month.
Well, they upgraded the Papa Shot.
Sweep the floor? I mean, what did they do?
No, they cleaned out the beer bin.
They put an actual door on the commode.
Oh, all right.
In the men's room. Have you ever walked into commode. Sullivan's Tap and walked into the bathroom and just, like, right in front of you is a guy taking a dump? Dude, there's not a door.
That's inexcusible.
But it's true.
How much can it cost?
It's been a while since I've been in there.
Oh, yeah. You walk into
it a one-person's bathroom? I don't think I've ever gone to the bathroom.
No. It's a couple of urinals, and then there's a commode. So it's,
okay.
You walk in, and last time I was there, like there wasn't a door.
Okay, that's inexcusable.
No, that's not right.
No, it's inexcusable.
It's not right.
How much can it cost to put a stupid door? Like, why would that not be your number one priority?
They had that in middle school. Like, when I was, like, in middle school, and actually high school, they had it, too. We had bathrooms that did not have doors.
What was the reasoning behind that?
They didn't want you smoking or something like that.
Like there's no way you could detect smoke. If it was good. And by the way, okay, I'd rather have kids smoking than sitting there staring at everyone taking a dump.
And by the way, I love Sullivan's Tap. I drink there. And walking into the bathroom, to be quite honest, is hysterical because you forget as many times you've been there. Whoa, okay, all right.
Say you had diarrhea. Oh, man. And like you're dying. And it's gotten to the point where it has to be done, which is a very rare occasion. And you go in, I would have someone barricade the door for me.
If it wasn't, because people recognize us, you know what I would do? I would put the hat, like, low on my head. I'd put the hoodie up, and I would just try to bury my head so no one knew who I was.
I'd crap my pants. I'd rather crap my pants. I swear to God, I'd rather crap my pants than do that. That's inhumane. That's like being at a zoo.
Just like where the lions just walk around and stuff falls out.
Like when you see rhinoceroses take dumps. Right. What? Why the hell? What sick individual? What do you think the cost of putting just the walls up is?
$100?
Yeah, $100.
I don't care if it's $10,000.
It's part of the charm, Fred.
No, it's certainly not part of the charm. I mean, Jesus, at the Y, they finally put up curtains in the shower.
They had to clean out the beer bin. That takes money. It takes money to do.
Jesus. First of all, that toilet's probably in really good shape, around 10 o'clock at night.
I'm not thinking there's like one of those lists on the wall where they say cleaned at 9 o'clock and a guy signs off on it.
No.
I don't think there's one of those on the wall.
You're hovering on that. You're getting some exercise.
On Twitter, I just searched Sullivan's Tap Bathroom because I was wondering if there was like a picture, and somebody said, I hope they don't enclose the toilets with stalls. Some of my best moments are walking into the bathroom there to see someone sitting there right amongst the others. Just like, hey, having a sandwich.
That's inhumane.
Yeah. Just doing the jumble.
All right. You have someone with a newspaper under their arm. Al Bundy style.
Jumble. All right. Oh, all right.
Don't mind me. Just taking a dump. So disgusting. All right, Rich, what else do we got besides everyday poo humor?
Josh McDaniels watch continues. We've got some more news on that. Also, your leaders in the All-Star race for the NBA include a few Celtics. We will get to that as well.
All right, here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right now, right now. Why the play, get it right now. Why wasn't when they put me on timeout or lights out? Lights out. Right, get it now, get it right now.
Your 98.5 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and since we're Toucher and Rich, of course, we're talking about going to the bathroom.
Well, I mean, the way it came up is that it's one of those things that you don't realize how absurd it is until the words come out of your mouth. But you know, the Sullivan's Tap closed and then it opened back up, and I like drinking there. It's a great bar. However, I'm always shocked that when I walk in, and there doesn't seem to be a door where the stall is. I mean, you're just kind of crapping in front of everyone, and I went on Yelp I just Googled Sullivan's Tap Bathroom, and everyone's like, yeah, you just got to walk in, and there it is for everyone to see out in front of you. And I wonder if that's one of the things that they actually changed with the new ownership when they went in there. Part of me might actually shed a tear because part of the bar might have died when that happened.
Barbaric. I mean, you really look at a zoo. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Quick story. I was in the Marines boot camp, and none of the stalls there had any type of door apparatus. So it's pretty awkward at first. There's about 80 guys to maybe 15 stalls all fighting for position, jockeying around. It's it becomes quite an adventure.
And it's probably some kind of science they feel that will bond you as a unit. Into that,
yeah,
I would
yeah,
say.
Exactly. It does. It becomes normalized after a while. At first, you just kind of take really quick dumps and get out of there. But by the end, you're having a conversation with the guy across from you. It's pretty funny after a while.
Did you ever see Menace to Society and I guess this is quite common, where people will be in jail for a week and they just won't go to the bathroom?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so once they get out, it's a whole situation. Jeff, go ahead.
Good Friday morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Fred, you said earlier that you were wondering why that wouldn't be their number one priority and put a door on that thing. I think it's their number two priority, actually.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. I have a friend who heard us talking about this one time and was, like, so proud his fraternity didn't have doors on the stalls.
Why?
He just thought it, like, they thought it was great.
But, you see, the fraternity thing, I don't want to say it's unacceptable no matter what, but it's a lot better than being in middle school and high school when you're at your most awkward stage. Like when you're Bert saying, was it Everett High? Oh, your middle school. Okay. Yes, Bert.
At our practice facility at Everett High. Like, there's no door. We're just sitting there crapping, and everyone's just looking at you.
Why would you go to the bathroom?
I had to go that bad real day. Normally, I wouldn't.
You had to go bad real day?
I had to go to the bathroom real bad that day. Sorry.
I got to go bad real day. I would have sure.
I would have ran anywhere. I would have left school.
Oh, you have to go. I mean, it's a guy. Yeah.
I don't think I ever took a dump. I can tell you, quite honestly, I don't. Except for elementary school, I never took a dump at school in middle school or high school. Never.
Oh yeah. I mean, you got to go. You take the one in the back. And hopefully that no one would walk past. You don't want to do the first one because they have to walk past you and peek your head in.
But you know everyone uses the back one. No, I never. I can.
That's
you
see. That's
I can tell you with 100% accuracy that I never took a dump in high school or middle school.
Now, did you ever have to go?
Oh yeah.
And
we would go. I had a friend in middle school that lived right by the school, so I would just leave.
But you had a door though, right?
Yeah, on the stalls. But I don't want. I won't go to the bathroom here.
That's kind of strange. What is it about the bathroom? What is it about public bathrooms? Just that knowing that other people have been there?
No, it's that idiots sit down in the, right next to you. Like, it's normal. I don't want to deal with someone. You know what's a real problem? Is if you're a normal person urinating and someone's taking a dump and then you know they're finishing and it's a race to stop peeing so I don't have to look the person in the face.
that I understand. That I get. I've been that guy before.
Yeah, because just hang out in the stall until everyone's out.
I have a question. We had private bathrooms in the other building. You were good with those?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not a sanitary thing.
Okay.
It's a human
just
being
sanitary. With anybody else in the same room.
It's being evolved as a human.
And maybe it comes from me being in a family of seven, and we had one. The five kids shared one bathroom, so you had to be quick. So if I needed to, I could turn on the jets and get in and out of there no matter what.
No,
I don't have that fear that I'm going to be trapped there when some dude sits next to me. And
then everyone says, there's no one downstairs here. You go downstairs, and then you go downstairs, and invariably there's someone in there. There's someone in the bathroom here constantly. How many people do you think are here in the mornings? So we have six, and that's by far the biggest staff.
Yeah.
So I would say
15, 20 people in the building.
Yeah, and everyone's going to the bathroom at all times. I'll tell you what, the salespeople come in here.
Well,
and the first
that's a different animal.
No, but
altogether.
It's weird. Like, if you're in sales, unless there's a meeting, there's no real concrete time you have to be here. Say there's like a half an hour window. I'll give them that, even though I don't think that's true. I'll give them a half an hour window. Why they come here and immediately go to the bathroom is fascinating to me. What do you like? Have a time card that you like have to check in?
Like, they get here just so they can put their jacket on the seat, and then they'll spend like 30 minutes in the bathroom.
Yeah, who's that impressing?
Well, I mean, you know, they want to see your jacket. Make sure you're here.
I'm not positive that anyone's walking around looking for jackets on seats. And why you wouldn't just sit at your desk? Like, why do you have to go? Like, what's better about the bathroom?
Listen, you know, it's a long drive. A lot of people drink a lot of coffee, you know, on the way
you're
in.
Doing stuff.
If it's
you're
a five-hour
shaker. You're on the phone somewhere.
Control yourself like a normal human being.
I don't have a ton of problem with using a public bathroom. Now, touching the handles on the doors, that I have a huge problem with, which makes no sense.
And then you're forced to wash your hands, and the sink is the dirtiest part of the bathroom.
Sure.
See, if you pee, there's no reason to wash your
That's
hands.
Weird.
It's the cleanest part of your... I'm not peeing on my hands.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, but there's like... You're holding the thing that there could be splashback. Why not do
there's
it?
There's no splashback. It's all fine. There's no reason to wash your hands. And it drives my wife crazy because I tell my son, I go, you don't have to wash your hands. Don't worry about it.
We should have Nick go to Sully's and just ask people on the right way. You're not going to use that bathroom, are you? Are you going to sit there and let everyone see?
That will go away swimmingly. We'll get in no trouble for that.
I would be a little upset if they changed that. I like the open. It always makes me laugh because I forget about it every time I go there. And when you walk in, you're like, hey, good morning.
I just am fascinated with a high school, like how the doors. So it's a teacher's job
to go into the bathroom and stare in the stalls to make sure nothing's happening?
I've had, matter of fact, I ran for class office one time and I ran on the platform that I wanted doors in the toilet and I won.
Did you succeed?
No. Because I realized that's not what my position did. So I made promises that I couldn't fulfill.
Right.
But it was a rallying cry. You know, it was kind of like gleaming. What was it? Pump up the radio or whatever. That's
pump up the volume.
Pump up the volume. You know, I was Slater.
You were Slatering.
I was doing all the Slater. You can't really do that.
You can Slater if you want.
Face the other way. Somebody said, "I'm on my way to work. Clock in at 7. Dump till 7:20."
I don't get it. I don't get what could possibly be worse than that. Why you just would go to work?
Some people have to use the bathroom.
How could you be up for an hour?
I honestly couldn't hold it. Like, I couldn't do what you do, and I don't know how you do it. There's some sort of, like, weird Zen gift that you have, but if I have to use the bathroom,
because I don't have intestinal problems.
I have to go.
Of all the problems I have, intestinal problems is not one of them.
Well, it might create some if you hold it in all the time like that.
Oh, please. That's, what are you, witch doctor? He died from holding in poo. Leech. He needs a good leeching.
Somebody said the first 30 minutes decides whether you want to be at work or not. It's a huge part of the day. So in the bathroom is when you contemplate such things.
Okay. Sit in your car.
No, because then you get credit for being there.
Okay. Well, if there's a time card, there's no excuse.
It's like you show up with the jacket there and then go into the restroom and, shall I stay or shall I go? Meanwhile, you have your own little thing of privacy. You can check your mail.
Well, obviously not if you're at Sullivan's staff. You can check your mail at the desk.
You got people bothering you. It's your own little heaven.
Yeah, a lot of people bothering you. Just a little heaven.
Somebody said, "I'm a doorman at Sully's. The bathrooms are unchanged, my friend." Good.
There you
gotta
go.
Keep it that way.
It's inexcusable. It's inexcusable.
It's a doorman for a place with no door.
All right. Well, I suggest I would hire someone just to walk around with me and then block the doors. I had to do that with my son. I had to go to the bath. I had to wait for my daughter. Was in a class for like an hour and a half, and I got in, and it was an absolute emergency, and the door wouldn't lock, so I had to put all the trust in the world in my son. And I was like, if you move, the punishment will be like what you've never experienced.
Well, because is there any more feeling of terror than sitting in a bathroom, like sitting in a stall and hearing the like someone trying to get in?
Well, then they're an animal because you can see feet. All right, and so ends our talk about going to the bathroom, only to be picked up sometime next week. We will return.
Toucher and Rich.
What merciless warlord of the deep determined that this is the golden moment to attack?
Yeah, how I be rolling, holding my sword, Lord, I be zoning, going hard in the moment. Only God can control them. I told them it's not a game. Show them not how to flame. They broken, I got a smoke.
98.5 the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Quickly, Rich, is there anything else we need to get to?
Yeah, looking forward to having Bert in just a couple of minutes, because he wrote a really good article about what's been happening behind the scenes with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and why, indeed, Antonio Brown feels so butthurt about what's been going on the past couple of weeks. We will have him in just a moment. I'm sure he'll also have the latest on what's happening with Josh McDaniels and Brian Flores. But if you want to know just how interested Josh McDaniels is in the Cleveland Browns head coaching position, the answer would be enthusiastically interested, according to the Canton Repository.
Of course.
Canton Repository.
No, not a suppository.
Circulation is what for the Canton Repository?
I have no idea what it is. All I know
just
is
some guy doing favors for his friend. Okay.
But according to the Can Rep, they said that McDaniels is enthusiastically interested in the Cleveland opening. The Browns have used back channels to indicate a mutual preliminary interest, but they have not invited him to an early interview. The Packers did, and he said yes. Now, you said, John, that Brian Flores has two lined up today.
This is from Ian Rappaport. He's going to speak, I guess, in Foxborough with the Packers in Miami. And Josh McDaniels is also supposed to talk to the Packers today as well.
Oh, Miami, what an awful job. I mean, there's worse ones out there. I would think that the Bengals would be the worst. We've talked about this.
And Josh McDaniels, rightfully so, declined an interview with Cincinnati yesterday. Flores has two more interviews tomorrow.
Yeah, and I saw a little bit of Mike Florio yesterday. Once again, we'll talk to Bert about this. There being still, at least Mike Florio believes that there are indeed teams, as you said, Fred, and as we both kind of speculated this year, that were turned off by the way that Josh McDaniels handled his business last
year. Never hired Josh McDaniels. Never, ever, ever, ever.
It sure seems strange. I mean, how you can trust somebody after a situation like that, but, you know, apparently that just shows the shortage of good candidates, I guess, in the NFL if he's continuing to be at the top of most lists. I know Mike McCarthy as well has, you know, probably inched out a few of them. But once again, we will talk to Bert a little bit more about that. But we did yesterday, or at least Zolak and Bertrand did, have Jonathan Kraft on the show. And after they announced that there is going to be a very, very long partnership with 98.5 Sports Hub, they announced that the Zolak and Sosi and our airing of the games is going to be around for a long, long time. Excited about that. He also talked about Tom Brady and Tom Brady's commitment to the team.
Now that 98.5 The Sports Hub has received a long-term contract extension, I believe it's only natural to think Tom Brady is next, right?
Tom Brady, listen, yeah. Look, Tom, I'm only hesitating because there aren't adjectives to describe how exceptional he is.
Of course.
And anybody who doubts that, anybody who doubts that is, you know, doesn't understand things. Tom's under contract for next year, and I think hopefully people have seen that, you know, there's a real understanding between all of us about how that situation is going to work into the future. And Tom, we're so lucky to have him as the quarterback and the leader of our football team. He was the MVP of the league last year, whatever, not that that matters. And I read something he said last week because someone asked him about statistics. He said, all I care about is wins. And that's why he's Tom Brady. And that's why you wouldn't want anybody else quarterbacking your football team.
Well, this is extension time, right?
I'd feel very bad if I'm the new quarterback. It's like, you want no one else? But what about me? Like in a couple years when Brady retires? Mm-hmm.
I mean, talking about when they bring in Nick Foles and they
Nick Foles to be the backup.
Be the quarterback in waiting?
Sure.
Nick Foles, that's exactly what he's going to want. He's like, you know, can you give me another backup job?
Just for a year.
Yep.
And maybe even not a full year, you know? Maybe at some point.
And then I can
Brady,
fail miserably. Yeah, it'd be great.
Nick Foles is not going to fail.
Yes, he is. He's going to fail spectacularly.
I've been saying that ever since I said he was better than Cam Newton.
Yep.
Who won a Super Bowl? Who's got a Super Bowl ring?
All right.
Not Cam Newton.
Burr Breer is in studio. We will have no commercials, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.